Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
And it's Monday night. And this is Reverend Judy Hosner, and this is The Journey 8. And yes, I know I'm usually on Wednesday nights, but since coming back from the sabbatical, I chose to switch it up a little bit for you. And so I'm gonna kind of review what it was that I was supposed to do in my 2 month sabbatical and what I actually did, because I know you're just dying to know, right, right, right? Well, here it is. I did not rest. I did not contemplate resting. I was actually more busy on the sabbatical than I was before the sabbatical, and therefore I'm more tired. However, we have done marvelous things. I think our first year, this is the anniversary of our first year, has been phenomenal. It's been a really fun ride for me. And I think the way we have it restructured for this coming year is going to be even more fun. So one of the things I thought about while supposedly resting was what I really wanted to do with the Journey 8. As most of you, the 12 of you that are my loyal followers, and the other hundreds of you know, the Journey 8 was kind of a groundbreaking, just a grassroots kind of thing. We started out as a Bible study, actually, and kind of went viral from there. And although we still have lessons, but it's not really sermons, it's lessons. We're going to have some more music because I'm a musician myself and love music. And everybody kept sending me emails saying, I want more music. And I'm going to try and find people that you wouldn't normally hear. We'll have the Chris Tomlins and the Mercy Me's, but more so the people who have a need to really show you what they can do. And so that's one thing. And the other thing is that we're going to spend some time really interacting. You all love to listen to me, and I'm really honored about that. And your emails were well-received while I was gone. But I want to hear your voice, too. I mean, I think you have one. And your emails are great, but, we do some, actual calling in kind of thing. And I might need to be coached on that because, again, I'm not some famous movie star. It's just little old me. And little old me needs to learn how to have you guys call in and say hello. Tonight, we're not really going to have a lesson because I am so excited. There's a gentleman that's going to be on the second half of the show, and he is actually my pastor. Now, a lot of people think I pastor the church I go to, and that is not true. I'm just a member. You out there in cyberspace are in my church, and I'm your pastor, sort of. So the gentleman that's coming on in a little while is the pastor of the church I go to, which is a really nice church. I'll call it, no, it's Life's Journey, and this wasn't a coordinated thing. I named the Journey 8 long before I really was associated. Life's Journey, United Church of Christ in Burlington, North Carolina, and a phenomenal group of people they are, with a really excellent leader. And you all are going to get to hear some really nice things. Now, here's the thing. When I bring people on as guests to talk about their books or to discuss with me. And we're going to have more of this. People from other religions discussing with me why they believe what they believe. And of course, you know, I'll have the Christian slant to it. And I think more of that kind of dialogue today would be beneficial throughout the world. Back to the music. I want to have you listen to a song. And I got a hold of this CD last week. Someone was kind enough to send it to me. And it's been in my head for 7 days now. I whistle when I can. I hum. I just love this album. Each one of the songs on this album have a corresponding scripture. And I love that kind of thing. I love story songs. So I'm a sucker for story songs. The name of the group is Will of Titus. Will of Titus has been around. And I am blessed to have come across this album. The album is called Awake My Soul. I am not going to play tonight the lead song. I'm going to play another song because it's more apropos to what we will be discussing in the second half. And it's called Nothing's Impossible. And we'll have the engineer cue it up here in a second. And y'all need to send me a note and let me know what you think of the Will of Titus and Nothing is Impossible.
Smart as a mustard.
yeah. What do you think? What do you think? Huh? I love this group. I'm just like crazy. So, yes, Will of Titus and Nothing's Impossible. And that's always been one of my mantras. And I believe it. If you have just a faith of a mustard seed. So we'll hear more from them as time goes on. And hopefully even be able to get them on the show. So back to Hello. And it's nice to be back. One of the other things we're going to change up is I have a very dear friend and a very talented and gifted person who's going to co-host from time to time with me, and that's Ellen Karika, who's not here tonight. It's on family business, but you all are going to love her. Just a down-home kind of girl, and with the new salt and pepper. So we'll have some surprises for you for sure. So hopefully she'll be here. Our next show will be on May 11th. We are on every other week. We rotate weeks with a wonderful show, John Barber's World. So he's on one week, I'm on the other. We're doing this dance. And maybe we'll dance together. I don't know. Depends on whether he steps on feet or not. Ah, yes. So back to a redesign program, outline, and it's a work in progress. For those of you who don't know, the beginning of Journey 8, was a website that I had done by the name of Closer Walk with You. And that was where our Bible study, and that Bible study is still going today, a year later. We just keep moving from it's a Thursday night thing, and you can Skype in if you want information. You can send me an email at RevJudy@closerwalkwithyou.com, and I'll tell you how you can Skype in. It's kind of fun. Anyway, so Closer Walk with You has kind of faded away, and we are all of us now, the Journey 8. And the Journey 8 is starting to have a few people recognize us. I haven't asked, and no one's asked me for autographs yet, and that's fine. I can't write. Schedules. Since we're an on-off type thing, I've asked for some space on my page at BBS to post a schedule. So you can look at that real fast. Just go to my page and say, oh, she's on next one, not this week. But definitely listen to John instead. I'm not good at schedules either, you know, so who knows how I might figure out a way to get around it. But for the next couple months, at least, until the new website for the Journey 8, which is being written right now by people who know more about websites than I do, then you'll be able to tap right in directly. In fact, I think we're going to flip, and you'll be able to go right straight to the program if it's on that night. Okay, so that is kind of where we have been for 2 months. I've had a lot of meetings with people. A lot of people tell me what I need to do to be big. And the concept and the intent for the Journey 8 is not to be big. If that happens, that's fine. But to be able to reach you. Those of you who cannot make it to church, those of you who don't want to make it to church, those of you who have never been to church, how big do I need to be to do that? It's a matter of you flipping a switch and listening. And you don't have to have a computer, by the way. I should have said this up front. If you have a smart or dumb phone, you can listen to me. And that is by dialing the phone number 716-748-0150. I mean, like I said, it could be a smartphone, it could be a dumb phone, it doesn't matter. And that will allow you just to listen to the show. You can't, you know, call in and talk to me on that line. But if you're sitting on a subway or something and you're not home where your computer is, you can always listen in on the phone. If you want to call in and talk to me, that is a toll-free number. That is 888-627-6008. And the engineer can pass you into me. Most of you are too scared to talk to me, and that's fine. You'll get over it. So, one thing after another, and the next thing, for those of you who are new, I really don't like to be a stuffed shirt. So you're going to hear very, I'm going to say, brief lessons and more, you know, what's happening. And I focus the show where I am, which is in the Burlington, Greensboro Triad area. But I realize that those are, you are in Wisconsin or Hawaii or wherever. Sometimes the information is for all of you. And usually that's the fun stuff. And I had a really creative moment a few months ago. I only have them once or twice a year. And I started a Bible trivia page on this puzzle website. And it's an awesome puzzle website. I mean, if you're into whatever kind of puzzles, I mean, you go to this website. It's called purposegames.com. Not porpoise, but purpose. I've had so much email saying, I can't get into the game. Porpoisegames.com. It keeps blowing out. And that's because it's purposegames.com. P-U-R-P-O-S-E. Search on the Journey 8. It'll take you to a little page where there's four or five of us. I'm the icon with the crazy cat. Tabby cat is going. I click on that and you'll find a bunch of games. And there's, I think, three or four Bible trivia games that I did. And then there's hundreds more. It's a very, so far I've played on it for hours, have not found anything offensive. It's very much set up for kids. If you find something that is not appropriate, please let me know. But like I said, I've played on it for a very long time now, and probably longer than most adults should. But it's got, you name it, if you're into puzzle games. So hit it up for the Bible trivia. I'm going to be putting a couple more out there. And if you have one that you want to put on, all you have to do is be a member. It's free. And throw it up yourself and then tell me and I'll go play it. And if I fail it, I'll put somebody else's name on there. Okay. When we pick up next week or the week after next, we started a series called Heroes, Superheroes, dun-dun-dun, of the Bible. And then I took my sabbatical. Superheroes of the Bible did not die. Superheroes never die. And so we had Simon Peter. I think we did Daniel. And we're going to bring a superhero next week. Next meeting. I have to stop saying next week. And we'll finish that series off. But I want you all out there to think about who you would nominate, New Testament or Old Testament, to be a superhero. Would it be Ruth? Would it be Noah with all his animals? And then drop me a line at thejourney8.com. And tell me who you want. I get enough of you for one person, we'll slot them in. And if your person is the one that I named, we'll think of something really cool to send you. I don't know what that would be because I don't have anything cool, but I got friends who have cool stuff, so I'll send you one of their things. No, that's not right. We'll find something cool for you. So, where are we? Oh, my goodness. So, superheroes. And now, when we come back on May 11th, and we start in with superheroes again, I am going to have, I hope to have by then, a moment or two for Kids Corner. And there will be a Kids Corner on the webpage also. And a teen, if I can round up enough teens brave enough to help write it. And so we're gonna have arbitrarily some kids call in with the whatever I lasso them to do. Bible related, of course. And I have three or four people from other religions that I'm trying to get on the show. I thought it would be interesting. This is an educational show. It's not, I don't serve mass or anything. It's educational, supposedly. And it's supposed to be fun. You know, Jesus had a lot of fun. So, you know, we're going to try it out. I think it'll work. And then, last but not least, of the announcements and the hello, I'm back. If you are having issues, needing something in the way of a word or two on the program, every email that's sent, I actually read. And that's just an obsession of mine. There are no other people. Very few, maybe my co-hosts, that will read those with me. If you have a prayer request, we will have a portion of the new website where you can tap into that. And the team that I have, the Prayer Warrior team, are awesome. And we are strongly devoted to praying. I've seen it work in my own life and in other lives. So, whatever you send me, I actually read. Some of it's quite funny, actually. So I want to hear from you one way or the other. I want to know that there's life out there. All right. I think for me, that would be the greatest thing. And I think you'll like the new format. I'm hoping you do. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I am hornswoggled my pastor into coming on the show. He may or may not regret it. I don't think he will. And it's always hard when you are trying to interview somebody that you are personally familiar with, because you still have to step out of yourself and be the interviewer. And I'm doing better at that. The last time I did it, I actually succeeded quite well. So I may be referring to Life's Journey, United Church of Christ in Burlington, North Carolina, as his church, but it's also mine. I just want to stay, you know, for you. And so let's see if you can ring him up, Mr. Engineer. Now, we'll see if he's really going to answer the phone. Yeah, I'll be on your show. Sorry, no one's home. Pastor, answer your phone. It could be the God phone. So answer your shoe phone if you're aging 86. Wow, I have so much power. My pastor's afraid to answer your phone. Oh, I'm in so much trouble. So when we get squared away here, we'll have a special something for him. If you have a book that you've written, special experience, or you have a band and you just want some airtime, you know, we still have some holes. We're not that booked up. And I like to see new faces. I mean, I never see your face, but I like to hear new voices, and other than the voices that are in my head. So drop me a line. And remember, it's completely flipped now to thejourney8.com. The Journey 8. Where did the Journey 8 come from? When I took the domain, there were seven others, so I became the Journey 8. It's also my birthday, so there. I'm so creative. All right. So while we're trying to track him down and hogtie him to get on the show, one other piece of information is that... Whoa, are you there?
Hey.
Hey. Is that awesome or what?
That is a great welcome, absolutely, yeah.
You should never, ever think that you're going to get off the hook. So, folks, this is the Right Reverend Phil Hardy. From what church are you from?
I am the pastor of Life's Journey United Church of Christ in Burlington, North Carolina.
Amen. Yes, he is. And he was so kind to take some time out of his busy day to talk to all of us about several things. And I'm going to ask him some questions, and he's going to try and give me an answer or two. And can you hear me okay?
Pretty much. For the most part, yes.
For the most part? Okay.
Yeah, we faded a little bit at one point, but we're good. Yes, we're communicating.
All right. So before we get too much towards what I really want you to talk about, give us a short history of who Life's Journey United Church of Christ is and how it came about.
Okay. I think to talk about our history, in a sense, you've got to go back to 2005, the summer of 2005, when the United Church of Christ passed what was a pretty historic and landmark resolution at their 25th General Synod, which called for its churches and its members to be advocates for equal rights in marriage, for marriage equality, one, and two, to be in conversation with one another about all the forces, both in society and in church, that work against equality and work against fair treatment of people in the LGBT community. And the resolution was the first by a major denomination, and it created sort of shockwaves both outside the denomination but also inside the denomination. A number of churches, some churches pulled out of the denomination, others had some pretty divisive moments based on it. But one of the things that some of us realized was that what was lacking in Burlington, North Carolina, was an open and affirming congregation, which, of course, means... it means that the congregation aims to be inclusive in a number of ways. But one of those would be around issues of human sexuality. And so about 30 to 35 pioneers began a church, which was called Grace United Church of Christ. After about 5 years of existence, the church had done pretty well, but it wasn't quite large enough really to be on its own. And there was another church across town, which also was about the same size and was struggling and had some vision, but not quite enough people to make that vision a reality. And we came together in dialogue, and after a few months of dialogue, agreed to some terms of a merger, and became an open and affirming congregation here in Burlington, North Carolina. That was about 4 years ago. And we've been on that journey together since then.
And such a journey it is, huh?
It is, yes. A merger is a challenge. I don't know. As a pastor, I did not have anything to prepare me for it. And the people, we all had to kind of learn as we have gone about it. But I think the church has changed a lot in the 4 years. Some people who had been in the two original churches didn't hang around just because of the challenges that are kind of inherent in mergers and took different paths. And we had, in the last 4 years, had a number of new people to engage our congregation and bring their gifts. And we are trending upward these days.
Yay! I think so. So here's the clincher to that little synopsis is I've heard and firsthand that we are a radical church. Why is that? Why do people call us radical?
Yeah, it's an interesting term, and it's been a part of our conversations in the church lately, and sometimes directed towards. I guess all that depends on what the norm is supposed to be. And maybe in the part of the South in which we live, and I may refer to being in the South a number of times, and people should understand, I love the South. I've lived my entire life in the South. Intend to live the remainder of my life in the South unless God leads me on a path that I'm not anticipating. But we have our ways and sometimes move a little bit slower towards progress, and that just has been a part of our history. And so maybe where we may seem radical to some, frankly, I don't know that there's anything radical about suggesting that God's love includes all people. I don't think that there's anything radical about saying that our calling as people of faith is to reach out to the marginalized and the disenfranchised and the poor and the least of these in the various forms that may take. Yes, we are understood as radical by some. As I understand the gospel of Christ, and as I understand really the whole of the Judeo-Christian tradition and the prophetic calling upon the church, I think we're right in line with it. But that is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And a good opinion it is. It's one that I also have when... When people tell me that the church is radical, I just say, well, they thought Jesus was radical, too. So I take that as a compliment.
I think one of the dividing lines that exist within Christianity is whether we're going to understand this faith as a faith in which we sort of have these parameters and we have these walls and we give people the information and instructions of what they've got to do in order to get inside of these walls. What are the creeds that they must believe in? What are the steps they must take? Who is it that they need to be? How is it they need to express themselves? That is one sort of paradigm. That's one understanding. But I think within the way we understand the Christian faith, the Christian faith is about taking down those walls that keep anyone out or that leave anyone out. And that's a pretty, that may, in the context in which we live, seem radical. To me, it's not. But that is sort of the fundamental difference, as I understood, at least one of the fundamental differences in terms of how I understand Christianity, is that we understand it as a way of knocking down the walls that keep people out rather than, you know, creating, you know, these boundaries that historically have excluded some.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, here we are, you know, radical us and very dynamic church and passionate about our God for sure. Do you ever see that as being a barrier, that we're so passionate that we overly welcome people or overly reach out? We reach out too far.
I don't think that you can reach out too far. I think you've already referenced some of the ways in which Jesus was understood as a radical in his own historical context and in his own time and place. But yes, I mean, people at times take offense at who we are. People at times take offense at our message and how far we extend ourselves. That doesn't make it the wrong message. That does not make it outside of the boundaries of the gospel. That just means that's how some people sort of perceive it and some people feel about it. But one of my favorite stories in the Gospels is when Jesus encounters this Gentile woman, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter is sick, and she comes to Jesus and she asks for healing. And they have this really odd conversation in which Jesus initially says that he hadn't come for the Gentiles, but had come for the children of Israel. And she pushes the envelope a little bit, and before the conversation is over, Jesus at times makes a reference to dogs not being, and then she says, but even the dogs receive scraps from the table. It's a really odd conversation, and in it, if we're just reading it without trying to be defensive of our image of Jesus, we wonder what in the world is wrong with Jesus. We're ready to kick him out of our progressive churches when we hear that. But the conversation continues, and before it's over, he grants the woman's request. He heals the child. And from that moment on, the gospel seems to branch out and take a more inclusive direction. And there's a lot of different ways to understand it. Sometimes some people think Jesus was being coy and intended to heal the daughter all along. It was just engaging her in this kind of coy conversation. But I'm left to wonder sometimes if Jesus was still evolving in his understanding of who he was and just how radical, to use that word, and how expansive this kingdom was, and at least hold up the possibility that Jesus was even evolving. And I know some people are uncomfortable really with leaning into the humanity of Jesus, but I find it meaningful to lean into the humanity of Jesus and to think of that story by asking the question, if Jesus could expand his own understanding of just how broad and wide this kingdom was and how far-reaching the invitation was, then we can too. And so that doesn't always happen easily, and there will always be those, if people are in positions of power, either because of their gender or because of their sexual orientation, or because of their socioeconomic status, there will always be resistance to inviting others in to equal places at that table. And so it's not surprising that when we talk about a table that is set for all and a table that everybody comes to equally and with the same status, it's not surprising that sometimes people who historically have had positions of superiority or power would be resistant to that. So yes. It's a long answer to say that yes, one of the paradoxes of the gospel is that in some respects it breaks down walls and it brings people together, but there also is that respect in which. I think Jesus put it that, a mother and daughter would turn against one another, father and son, and families would sometimes feel the division of the gospel because it asks us to stand on one side of this inclusive kingdom or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know this firsthand, because we are as passionate as we are, I'm thinking of two ministries for sure that we have as a church. Can you kind of give us a little synopsis, a short synopsis of how we take care of the community? Because a lot of churches take care of themselves, but I see, something different happening here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it gives us a welcome opportunity to tell the listeners that we're not a one-trick pony. We're not a one-issue church. Anytime you talk about all of the things that are of concern, that we talk about all the things that we're concerned about, if somewhere in that list is about equality around sexual orientation, it seems like nobody hears anything else after that's out there. And yeah, that is just one of the concerns that we have as a congregation. So this is a great question and an important one. One of the ministries we have is a ramp-building ministry, a group of persons about 20 times a year on average goes out and builds handicap ramps. Oftentimes we have to raise the proceeds for that. Occasionally the proceeds are available, but I think it provides a really profound gift to people who otherwise could not enjoy a beautiful spring day, could not go to the grocery store, could not go to their church and worship, could not leave their home, but these ramps provide the means to make that more accessible to them and to sort of provide the gift of freedom and movement. And we have Earl Bass is the foreperson of those projects, and he's sort of tireless in the way that he works on it, and brings the rest of us in to be a part of that project. And I think it provided important ministry to a number of people in our community. A second ministry, and one that is relatively new, in partnership with the NAACP, we have a feeding ministry to the homeless in our community. And what I think is unique about it is that we're taking pains and efforts to try to be careful not to just show up and to put food on a plate and to send people along, but we are trying to build relationships with the homeless in which we do not simply see them as issues or people who who we're there to help so that we feel better, but these are to recognize their human dignity, to honor their human dignity, and to engage them as people, to build relationships with them, so that we become friends and family to them, not just the people that put food on a plate and send them along. And so that's still sort of that's young and in the making, and where that will go and how deeply that will leave us invested in the homeless in our community is yet to be seen. But I think there's some really exciting possibilities about where that can go. And then a third ministry, we have a child development center, and one of the things that's really important to know is that the mission of that is to make sure that people from lower socioeconomic situations are able to get daycare, which allows the people whether it's a single mother who has to work and has few options about child care, or even a family where two people are working or two parents are available. Nowadays it's just people have both people and a family have to work just to make it, and a lot of these are people from situations where child care is almost, not almost, it is unaffordable. So we've developed the means to work with social services and help provide opportunities for people to have the child care that they need in order to provide for their family.
Yes. And I understand that we just got our renewal of our 5-star rating from the state.
We did, and that is very important, so that we can continue to do to provide that very sort of ministry and to provide it to that very same group, and so yeah, that's exciting for us.
So that being said, and you know where I'm going to go with this question, explain to our listeners what's happening today with the life's journey that you would like them to be a part of.
Yeah, I should at least say, because I've not even had an opportunity to talk to you, that just in some of the sort of the technical steps that had to be taken, we began the launch of our website today. It'll be our fundraising website today, but it'll be available to people tomorrow. But yes, we are we're launching an Indiegogo fundraising campaign particularly help us to sustain these ministries. We are a church that's doing some exciting things. We're doing some innovative things, but we still remain, we're still a small church, and we still are a small church that is in many ways in a resistant environment to who we are. And so we are taking this opportunity to invite people. We think there's a lot of people out there, not only in our community, but you know, I would say across your listening audience, across our country, and even you know beyond those boundaries, people who share this vision that we have. And so our fundraising campaign is a campaign to invite people to be partners with us in it. And because of our size, because of what we're trying to accomplish, and because of some of the resistance that we're facing in our community, we do have some significant financial challenges. So we're asking people who share our vision, people who are common heart and mind with us, to go to our Indiegogo site that will be available sometime tomorrow, and it'll be up for 60 days. And to take a look at it, there's a video there that tells people something about our mission and ministries, tells something about the challenges that we're facing. It's an opportunity, hopefully, where people will decide to give and help us to sustain these ministries, but also just a chance for people to get to know us better and who knows, maybe give us a chance to get to know them a little bit better as well.
Absolutely. And there'll be a means by which they can donate on that webpage?
Yes, there'll be a number of ways to get to that. People can go to the Indiegogo website and go into the religion category and find us there. People can go to our Facebook page, which is simply Life's Journey United Church of Christ. To my knowledge, we are the only one there and pretty easy to find on Facebook. Our website is www.lifesjourney.org. And through any of those means, people will be able to find the link and give to the campaign.
Great. And I know that God's going to have a hand in this because I see it all the time. Being there. And one last question is the question that I always ask in some form of everybody that comes on the show. So here it goes. If you had all the resources available and everything that you would need, which one ministry in your heart that has not come to fruition yet would you make come true?
Do I have to bring it down to one? Can I have maybe a couple?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. I know you. The rules are made to be broken. So, yeah, let me take a shot at a couple of them. I would love to establish some kind of an institute for laypersons, for biblical literacy. I really believe that one of the problems that we have in our Southern culture, and not just in the South, but in many places, is somewhat of a lack of biblical literacy. Not that people don't have a Bible, not that people don't want to read a Bible, but I think one of the and if there's somebody to point a finger at, and you know, I hate to point a finger, but if you if there's somebody to point a finger at, it's people like me, pastors and teachers and churches. I think through the years, if I guess I've been doing this for about 30 years, and if I could go back and change something I did about the way that I approached teaching people around the Bible, is I'd spend less time trying to let people know what I knew about the Bible and spend more time helping people discover the tools that they needed in order to ask the right questions about the Bible and to interpret the Bible effectively and with integrity. And I would love to have an institute for lay people that help them to develop some of the tools that maybe some of us who are in licensed or ordained ministry, you know, that we were able to get in seminary. Not everybody can go to seminary. Not everybody wants to go to seminary, but to have some of those tools that would enable people to study the Bible and to interpret the Bible in a life-giving way. Because I think the more people actually know about the Bible, the less inclined they're going to be to use it as a weapon against anybody, and instead they're going to understand it as an instrument of liberation. And
that's great.
And I think, you know, have more of an opportunity for the Bible to become a source of unity as opposed to a source that creates so many schisms and divisions. So that's one. An institute for biblical learning for lay people.
I have to cut you short. I got to cut you short because we're about ready to wipe up. However, I'm going to ask you to come back. And because you know I'm an education person, and we're going to talk about that because that's root to my soul. And I want to thank you for being here because I know it was a big deal today for you with everything that's going on. And I hope that being here helps helps your cause, and I will see you on Sunday.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity, and you and Irene and Nancy and all you're all just a source of joy for us at Life's Journey.
Thank you. All right. Amen. Take it away, Mr. Engineer.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hausner.